Take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the one verse sums up the whole Christmas story. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I hope you'll turn there and I'll preach to you. By the way, we'll have service tonight at 6 o'clock. I hope you'll come and be with us. And if there's any way you can, just show up, all right? Show up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you're there, look at the last verse. The Bible says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." For His unspeakable gift. I asked this morning if everybody was ready for Christmas in Sunday school, and several people said no. Or I think Brother Marion, actually, he said maybe something about that. Several people spoke up and said, "No, we're not ready for Christmas." So I asked, "Well, why not?" Somebody said, "Well, and you know, shopping to do, or I've got, I don't have any money." Hey, the truth of the matter is, regardless what many might claim or might profess, for a huge majority of people, Christmas is bound up in gifts. That's where it's bound up, both giving and receiving, but that's where it's bound up. And you say, "Well, why do you say that?" Well, one reason is there's, I don't know how many times I've heard businesses say, "Hey, we depend upon Christmas season to make our year successful." That we might survive in the rest of the year, but Christmas is what makes it, you know, puts us over the top. And the truth of the matter is countless hours are spent shopping. Countless hours are spent shopping. Now, not by me. My wife does the shopping. I've told my kids, if your mom didn't shop, you wouldn't get a thing for Christmas, because she's the one does it, she's the one puts it. But I mean, countless hours. I really don't like to go to the store this time of year because of the crowds that are there. Now, everybody seems to show up the same day I get there, you know. And but hey, a lot of people out there, they're looking for that perfect gift. Or they're looking for that one thing that will satisfy some particular member of the family or a friend, you know. The truth is, even most Christians spend more time thinking about gifts than they do about what God gave us. And now I know we're in church, so we get pious when we're in church. And we say, "Oh yeah, it's all about that." But really, I'm afraid the most of the time it's not. But hey, folks, it is the gift of His Son, and through the gift of His Son, that you and I can enjoy the gift of eternal life. Our text calls the gift of God His unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift. I want to preach to you about that just for a few minutes, if I could, and say that gift is truly unspeakable for at least four reasons. First of all, it's unspeakable in its expense. Its expense. Folks mentioned, "Well, we didn't have enough money to shop, you know, to buy everything we want to buy." How many of you remember the Neiman Marcus catalog? The Neiman Marcus. Now, I never got that catalog. I don't want you to think the wrong thing. But I can remember hearing on television that the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog is out. And, you know, and then they would talk about the extravagant gifts that you could buy through Neiman Marcus. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, I loved the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Man, I'd get that thing out. I could go through that. I could go to the toy section because I sure wasn't wanting any clothes. I'd go to that toy section and just think about how much fun it would be to have all of that stuff, you know. And but the Neiman Marcus catalog, I couldn't afford to touch it, you know. Man, the gifts there were just over the top, all right? Most of us, there's no way in the world we could buy anything that would have been listed there. And it was every year it seemed like they tried to come out with something bigger, better, and therefore more expensive than the year before. All kinds of stuff. Hey, but the truth of the matter is, no jewelry, no vehicle, no garment. There is nothing that cost anything close to what eternal life costs. Nothing close to it. Now, I know for you and I, it's a free gift. We receive it free. But I always talk to people, when I talk to people about and try to witness to them, I always tell them every gift had to be paid for. Every gift has to be paid for. Somebody somewhere paid for it. It had to happen. And the gift of eternal life was paid for, but the cost was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. No remission of sins without that. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ was given up because it required His blood to pay the price for eternal life. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Your body wouldn't live were it not for the blood that's coursing through that body right now. If your heart stops pumping that blood, life is gone. Life is gone because it is that blood that carries life to you. It is that blood. Hey, but that was the price of that unspeakable gift. The expense of it was just absolutely beyond belief, all right? Hey, it wasn't the life of just anybody. It wasn't just any old blood that could have been shed. That wouldn't have worked. It was the pure blood. Notice what the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, would you? 1 Peter chapter 1, every time I read this verses in 1 Peter, my heart and my mind just almost blown away. Well, notice what verse 18 says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hey, not just any blood. Any old blood would not have done. It required the pure blood and the perfect life, if you will, of the Lamb of God. That was the blood that was shed for you and I. That was the price of your eternal life. A blood that was untainted by the dregs of sin. Hey, that's why you and I can't pay the price for somebody else's life. We can't do it. We can't buy eternal life because our lives, our blood's tainted with sin. We're sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ came born of a virgin. Born of a virgin. And never sinned. So He could go to the cross. His blood could be shed to buy that unspeakable gift that is given to us, eternal life. You have it this morning. That's the price that was paid. It was an unspeakable gift in its expense, not to you, but for the one that paid the price. That unspeakable gift. Not only was it unspeakable in its expense, but it's unspeakable in its expanse. You say, what do you mean? I mean by how far it reaches. How far, if you will, it goes. That blood was not, I don't believe, by any stretch was shed for a select few. It was made available to everyone who will come. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to turn to two verses. Would you look at John chapter 3? John chapter 3. All right? John chapter 3. When you get that in one hand, then I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. John chapter 3, Romans chapter 10. And I want us to just look at one verse, one word that is in John 3:16 and in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. You're there. Notice verse 16 of John. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, don't lose your place, but go to Romans 10 and look at verse 13. Would you look there where the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Did you notice that word that is found in both of those verses? That word is whosoever. Whosoever. I want to tell you, to me, that's a marvelous word. Marvelous word. Last night, as we've done for years and years, my son and I, and this time grandson went with us. We went out to AT&T Stadium, and we watched three high school state championship football games. When we were leaving, there was a fellow there that had this big container in front of him, and he said, "Hey, you want some Takis?" And I said, "Are they free?" He said, "Yes, I'll take them." Now, if you don't know what Takis are, you just need to talk to a kid. They know what they are. They're a form of a chip. As far as I'm concerned, they're not edible, all right? He said, "Well, what did you do?" "I took them." He said, "Why?" "They were free. And I know somebody that will eat them." But here's the emphasis. You know what I had to do to get those Takis? Just go. Just show up. I was invited to come. He had said, "Come." All I had to do was go take them, receive them. They were offered as a free gift. I couldn't strut out of there saying, "Hey, I got something free." Because anybody else could have done the same. Anybody else could have done. Whoever was there. He didn't look at me and say, "You're too old, buddy. You won't eat these things." He just gave them to me. He didn't look at my grandson and say, "You're too young. They're too spicy for you." He just gave them some. Now, my son didn't get any. But it's not our fault. The offer was extended. It was whosoever. Whosoever. I'm going to tell you what a wonderful thing that is. The gift of God is unspeakable in its expanse because it's available for whosoever. Whosoever. We send missionaries. We've got a missionary, Miss Larson, that's going, and she is leaving for Africa December the 31st. Got a letter from her this week. She's headed for Africa. She's finished her deputation, headed for Africa in language school. We're sending her over there because whosoever, whosoever. We've got missionaries in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. So why do you support missionaries there? Because whosoever, whosoever. We've got missionaries in Mexico. We've got missionaries. We've got one now trying to get into Poland. We've got missionaries going to Thailand. We've got missionaries now that are in Uganda. We've got missionaries that are in Germany. We've got missionaries in the Philippines. We've got missionaries that we support all around this world. Why, preacher? Because whosoever. That gift is unspeakable in its expanse. In its expanse. But wait a minute. It's also unspeakable in its extent. He said, expanse and extent. What's the difference? It's this, the extent of the gift given for us. Just as I had you look at the word whosoever in two verses, I want you to look at John chapter 10 now If you're still at John 3, hang on to it because we're coming back there, all right? But don't you look in John chapter 10. When we talk about the extent of that unspeakable gift. So what are you getting at, preacher? Well, there's two words I want you to grab hold of, all right? Look in John chapter 10. Look down in verse 28. Now, are you there? Can you read? All right, stay with me. Here we go. And I give unto them, what's that next word? I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Notice that word. What kind of life is it? It's eternal life. It is eternal life. The gift that God gives is eternal. It's eternal. Back in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. Two words, the word eternal, the word everlasting. You said, what's the difference? Same meaning, basically, for the same different two words. So why did you go to both of them? In case you couldn't get a hold of one. Maybe you get a hold of that other one, all right? If you can't grasp eternal. Eternal, truthfully, means it's period, has no end. Everlasting means it'll always be there. Everlasting. That's the life that unspeakable gift, it's unspeakable in its extent because it lasts forever. I could ask a question this morning. How many gifts have you been given through the years that you still have? I started to bring the Bible that I was given me at Christmas, the Christmas I was 10 years old. I've still got that Bible. It was the first, I say it this way, nice Bible I ever had. All the other ones I'd had is like dime store Bibles. The pages curl up pretty easy, and you know they can take some abuse, and then they're gone. They're used up because they're battered because kids have them. All right, but I got that first Bible that was nice. It was a Scofield Reference Bible. I've still got that Bible. I just want you to know it has seen better days. If I'd brought it here, you would look at it and you would say, that thing is old. It looks like it's worn. Hey, it makes you want to be careful when you handle it. You ever picked up a book like that before? You knew it was old and brittle, and you thought, I better be real careful how I handle this. That was the way that Bible looked, all right? That's the way it looks today. Well, wait a minute. That gift of life is not like that. It's eternal. In its extent, it's everlasting. It will not wear out. Will not wear out. It won't wear off. I was on an airplane. I've got to the point where I don't mind talking to people about anything. I was on the airplane one time and I saw the lady sitting next to me had a tattoo on her finger. And I got the opportunity to ask her about it. And I said, man, didn't that hurt? She said, man, it hurt like crazy. And she said, most people don't notice it. And I asked her what it was, and she told me, she said, it's hard to tell now because it's wearing off. It's wearing off. Aren't you glad eternal life doesn't wear off? It doesn't, you can't, if you rub it, it won't go away. It just won't happen. I mean, all other gifts will wear down, they'll wear away, or they'll wear out. That new car, if you keep it long enough, if you're not really super duper careful, it'll rust. Those fashionable, flashy gems that you've got, they can lose their luster, or even worse, they can be stolen. There's not one of us here that we were given a gift and man, over the years it's lost its luster or it's wore out and we wound up throwing what was left of it in the dump. but not eternal life. Not everlasting life. It'll never wear out. It'll never wear off. You can't lose it. It's given to you. It's given to you. And the Lord says, hey, in its extent, unspeakable. Why? Everlasting. Eternal. What a gift. What a gift. But not only is it unspeakable in its expense, in its expanse and its extent, but it's unspeakable in its expression. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Go with me to Romans chapter 5, would you? Romans chapter 5. God's expression to us is just unspeakable, if you will. Romans chapter 5, drop down, if you will, and look, begin reading in verse 6. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, man. I don't know if you ever stop and think about that. Most people we give to people we love. You've bought Christmas gifts. You did not go down the list of people you know and say, this is old George here. George hates me. I'll get him something for Christmas. Or this is Matilda. I can't stand Matilda. I'll get her something for Christmas. Now, none of you did that. None of you did that. You bought gifts for people you love. You bought gifts for people that love you. That's where the gift giving came from. But that's not the way God expressed his love to us. That's not it at all. God came to us and expressed his love to us in a totally different way. We've read John 3:16 twice, for God so loved the world. But the world that he loved didn't love him. Didn't love him. The world of the day in which he lived didn't love him. They spat upon him. They beat him. They struck him. They bruised him. They slapped him. They plucked out his beard. They mocked him. And our Savior, hanging on the cross, said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They know not what they do. He didn't say, what a crowd. Let them just go to hell. He could have. But he didn't. He loved us. He loved you. Now, I know we look in the mirror and we think, well, I'm not that bad a person. And the truth of the matter is we're sinners. We're sinners. The best we can do, the Bible says, is filthy rags. All our righteousness, all of our good deeds, filthy rags. But talking to that crowd, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? So we could have that unspeakable gift. So we could have that unspeakable gift. Hey, in his day they slapped him, they mocked him, they didn't love him. Can I say this? The world still does the same toward God. The world still does the same toward the God who so loved them. Still do the same. I want to tell you, that's why I say it. His gift was unspeakable in its expression. It wasn't dependent upon you. He loved you just like you sit. At your worst, he loved you. By the way, you remember this. Remember this. When he died, he knew what you were going to do and how you were going to live. But he died for you anyway. He died for you anyway. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, would you? I want you to look one last time at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. Word. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I ask you this morning, how do you thank him for that unspeakable gift? How do you thank him? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, and up until this time, your thanks has been to reject the gift he's given. The offer's there. Just like those Takis were offered to us last night, my son rejected the offer. Myself and my grandson, we took it. We accepted it. We took them home. When we got to my house, my grandson said, "Grandpa, I don't like these. You can have them." So I got them all in my house. He said, "What are you going to do with them?" "Dead sure not going to eat them. I don't like them. But I know some people that do like them." Hey, we accepted the gift. You're here this morning. He's given you the greatest. He's offered to you the greatest gift that's ever been offered. And up until this moment, you've rejected that offer. He said, "Now, preacher, I haven't rejected it." If you haven't accepted it up until now, you've rejected it. You've rejected it. Now, how do you show your thanks for that unspeakable gift? "Nah, I don't want it. I don't want it." Maybe you say, "Well, I've taken it." But wait a minute. You mock him, though, when you don't live out your profession. Hey, look, you ought to live out that profession. You say, "I'm saved, I'm a child of God, I belong to him." Hey, it's a mockery when you don't live like you belong to him. I believe we deny him oftentimes when we won't take the time to go to church. The Lord himself, while he was here, started it. He commands us to go, and we go, "I don't need it." You deny him. I think we slap him when we refuse to give. I do. I believe this, that unspeakable gift deserves and demands something from me. Something from me. You said, "Well, preacher, it's a free gift, so we don't have to pay for it." That's right, you don't. It's a free gift. It's offered freely, freely given, freely received. But I want to tell you this. If somebody gave you a brand new, what is your car? I don't know what people want nowadays. I just want one that's got four wheels, a good air conditioner, and it runs dependably. You know, if it'll do that, I'm happy. But I don't know, maybe you got some dream car. And I don't know what that dream car, maybe it's a Maserati, maybe it's, a Hugo, I don't know. But whatever your dream car is, all right, if somebody pulled up in front of your house on Christmas morning, knocked on the door, and they got it and said, "Here's the keys, it's all yours," wouldn't you at least offer them a ride home? You'd let them ride in it, huh? Hey, you're here this morning as a child of God. You've accepted that unspeakable gift and you have it. Don't you think it ought to demand something out of you? I think it does. You at least ought to thank him for that unspeakable gift. You ought to accept it if you never have. Oh, don't turn it down. Don't turn it down. Accept it today. Oh, man, what are you doing with that gift of life? Life. How are you living it? Selfish? I'm totally convinced my life is for me. I'll do what I want to with it. What a way to waste your life when it could be a blessing and a help to a multitude and you just consume it on you. What a mistake. What a mistake. Oh, listen, God's given you that gift. Have you taken it? It's offered. What have you done with it? You took it. What have you done with it? What have you done with it? Would you stand, please, this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. What have you done with it? And if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you've never accepted that gift, would you do it today? Would you do it right here? Would you do it this morning? Would you just step out and walk down the aisle? I'll meet you right here at the front. You just take my hand and say, Preacher, I want to trust Christ. Would you do it today? Would you take that gift? Christian, you're here and you've been saved. You've trusted. You have that life. Now, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Our Heavenly Father, I pray you would just deal with us. Lord, I pray if there's some this morning never trusted Christ, would you please bring conviction upon them, help them to come, trust you today as their Savior. Give them the courage to walk the aisle. Lord, there's Christians here. You've given them life. Lord, they're wasting it. They're not using it. Lord, would you just get a hold of their heart today? Lord, I pray we'd see ourselves as we are. Lord, you'd help us to do what we should in the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning, page 392, There is a fountain filled with blood. God speaking to you, would you come this morning?